Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another week of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him, streaming on your favorite podcast of choice, be it Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and even iTunes. And if you happen to be on iTunes, don't forget to give this a review or 5 stars to help this podcast grow and reach new audience. And also, if you're so inclined and you are able to, and only if you are able to, I have a Patreon at patreon.com/jlplays where I give you special episodes like the mini-sodes. Also, hopefully one day to bring you video with Patreon only. And on top of that, you get early access to listening to this podcast. And also, don't forget that you can reach me on Twitter at jlplays78 and also by email jlplayspodcast@gmail.com where you can tell me what I got wrong, what I got right, what I missed, whatever I have to say. And so, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week is Marvel's Miss Marvel and the animated series Rent a Girlfriend and Summertime Render. But first, let me talk about just a guilty pleasure that I have when it comes to one of the current TV shows that's airing right now on TV, which is Alone, a survivalist series somewhat like, let's say, Bear Grylls, but no camera crew, no nothing. They are their own camera crew. They are their own help and resources that they have. They need to do everything their own selves. There's 10 survivalists who are scattered throughout this area. They're given a giant berth. They're separated by miles, on like maybe 20, 30 miles, if I remember correctly. And each of them, the only way to get in contact with the outside world, each of them has a sat phone, which is used to call for help if they have an emergency. And because if they have an emergency, they might have to leave the show. And you also use it to tap out. That's how you exit the show, or the challenge in this case. And yes, this show is riveting for the most part. You see what actual survivalists have to go through. You see that a lot of them have a mental breakdown or mentally break down. The injuries that they suffer that you may not think, oh, it wasn't that bad. But when they actually show you the injury, you'd be like, oh, that's a lot worse than what it looked like when they actually got the injury. And it's actual real danger. They're around real wild animals that have the potential to actually die. But it's a great show. It's interesting to watch. It's definitely riveting. And the grand prize is $1 million for the survivalists, for the one person that survives out of the 10. I think is one person. I think it's up to one person only that survives it to the end. I could be wrong. I've only ever seen one person actually, you know, win the whole thing. So yeah, check it out. I think it's definitely an interesting show to watch if you're into these type of scenario TV. And also, let me just do a quick recap on The Orville. And so far, season 3 has not disappointed. It is so interesting on how all these episodes that they've already shot and already had scripts for and everything are so poignant in today's climate of reality here in the United States. And it's just very interesting how things work out, because this series was to come out like 2-3 years ago. This season, I should say, not series, but this season was supposed to come out 2-3 years ago. Because of the pandemic, it got delayed and delayed. And now is that we're getting it. And because all these episodes, again, were already written and were mostly shot. And then to have a lot of those topics, not all of them, but a lot of those topics, talk about what's currently happening in today's climate, it is so riveting and so interesting that Seth MacFarlane is so ahead of the curve and so into culture in general that he actually able to predict pretty much what people were going to be talking about, or even what was going to be an issue in life later on. And honestly, this is Seth MacFarlane's best work to date. It is definitely his best work. It is definitely his greatest work to date. I cannot fault him for anything that he's written in the series. I just love it, and I hope it continues. But yeah, that's my thoughts on The Orville and also Alone. And with that little tangent out the way, let's get right into it with the first topic. And that's the animated series, Rent a Girlfriend.
俺は木下和也、20歳。ちなみに彼女はいる。ごめん、他に好きな人できちゃった。別れよ。家族、和也くん。彼女、別れします。Now,
that was a really short clip of Rent a Girlfriend, now streaming on Crunchyroll. And the quick synopsis for this is: in today's Japan, rental services can deliver an afternoon with a friend, a parent, even a fake girlfriend. Kinoshita Kazawa is a 20-year-old failure of a college student. He managed to kiss his girlfriend once and only once, but was dumped after a month. Completely spiteful, Kazawa gets desperate enough to give a rental girlfriend a try. But he quickly discovers how complicated it can be to rent an emotional connection. And his new girlfriend, Mizuhara, who's trying to keep her side hustle secret, will pant when she finds out her real life and Kazuya's are intertwined in surprising ways. A reckless rom-com filled with love and excitement is about to begin. And yes, that definitely is Rent a Girlfriend. It is a beautiful rom-com. It is a fun rom-com. It is all about Kazuya's inability to actually, you know, understand women and understand how to deal with a girlfriend. And Mizuhara's, oh, by the way, sorry if I mispronounce any names or I butcher any names. Truly, I'm sorry. Mizuhara's ability to deal with her acting of keeping her, you know, private life private and her rental girlfriend thing separate from each other. But it just happens that Kazuhara lives right next to her. And all this is from season one, by the way. I'm not really spoiling anything. This is season two we're talking about. But I just want to give people a little quick background first. And they happen to live right next to each other. They even happen to go to the same school. You know, coincidences, how great and fun and funny they are. But yes. And the way season one ends, Kazuhara ends up confessing his love to Mizuhara. And she is just there. She just saw it as a side hustle. But eventually she starts, you know, ends up catching feelings for him. And we see more of it in the first episode of season two, which is what I'm going to talk about now.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
And in season two, it's all about... The first episode, I should say, is all about her doing this play. And Kazuhara, you know, sneaking in and being there in secret because she didn't want him to be there. And her ability to... You know, fake being a girlfriend and all that has paid off because she does an amazing job here in this play. The audience loves her. She plays this quirky, funny character who's supposed to be a ninja assassin. It's a period piece play, and everything she does is extremely funny, and the audience is eating it up and everything like that. And the reason this is a big deal for her, it's because also in the audience, there's a big, powerful director that's going to be there checking the play out for the next, you know, just pretty much scouting. and hopefully she's thinking that she's going to do a good enough job there where he picks her. But unfortunately, he doesn't pick her. He picks the other girl. And that's because the girl has connections. I guess her acting coach or friend or the friend of the family, her manager, whatever, has a connection to this director. And so thus, they got introduced and they're just gushing and talking about how her performance was. And she just sees that from the corner. Then she overhears these two girls talking, that the only reason she's, even talking to that director is because of her contacts. And this gets Mizuhara extremely depressed and extremely sad and frustrated and pretty much pissed off because she thinks that's reality. We really don't know if it's true or not, but it could be true. And the reason she's pissed off is because she worked her ass off. She's been, working like this rental girlfriend job. She's been studying hard. She's been doing everything she has to make sure she gets this opportunity, and it's taken away from her because of connections. And, she gets frustrated. Towards the end of the episode, she ends up literally bumping into Kazuhara, and they end up having a small argument in the outside, and, people are staring and whatnot. And pretty much the argument boils down to, she says she's going to give up acting because of this one thing that happened with the director. With that director not being interested because it was connections. But she doesn't tell him that, but she just tells him that she's going to give up acting. And he gets upset because she's, giving up, because he holds her on a high pedestal, right? He sees her as this great person who's doing great things with her life, unlike him where he's doing nothing. He's just a recluse who just stays at home, does nothing. He really doesn't have a goal in mind for his future or anything like that. And he sees her and he's not willing to have her give up. And he says, "You're not giving up. I will do whatever it takes to make sure you never give up and you fulfill your dream. No matter what, I will make sure that you fulfill your dream." And this character of him, this, emotional character of him, is what the reason why she's falling in love with him. But she, again, won't admit it to herself that she's falling in love with him, or let alone admit it to him whatsoever. Even though he already, confessed his love to her, she just won't accept it. Because she felt it was a step backwards. It'll probably hold her down or whatever. And yeah, this is definitely a fun, brilliant series to watch. You should all check it out. Again, it's on Crunchyroll, if I didn't mention that. It is just a fun series. Rent a Girlfriend. It is sweet, adorable. This series is not even meant for me, but I am enjoying it. Again, if you're not into rom-coms, I feel bad for you, because there are definitely some good ones out there, and this is one of them. Give it a shot. It is definitely worth your time. Rent a Girlfriend. And so with that, let's move on to the next topic, and that being summertime rendering. Kage no yama iu yotcha. Kage o mita mon wa.
Oto-san. よう言うてたわな。お皿洗って、後片付け終わるまでが、料理やって。
Now, that was a short clip for summertime rendering. And a quick synopsis for this is, upon hearing about Ushiho's death, Shinpei returns to his hometown of Wakayama City and reunites with his childhood friends and family. So when at the funeral, everything goes smoothly. But under the surface, something strange is brewing on this island. What mysteries await him on this secluded summer island? And yes, that's what this is about. It's the mystery of this island that's happening. And quite frankly, what is it? What is going on? And I honestly dude, love this series. It is so much fun to watch. And yes, again, definitely fun. This series is so freaking interesting. It starts off with the main character just going back home to meet and go for the funeral of his best friend, Shiho, and finding out that during that, the mystery behind her death ends up being very interesting and how she died. Also, the fact that Oshio's little sister is the best annoying little sister ever. Like, yeah, she's a bit annoying, or she, you know, she's trying to mature. She's trying to hold it together. And this is where the animation, the voice acting, and the writing come into play. Each character has great lines. No line is wasted. No animation is wasted in this. No characters are wasted in this. Everybody has a purpose for the most part. There are some goofy, campy moments here and there, but everything does pay off in its own way, especially in the first episode. Harping back to the animation and harping back to the little sister, when she ends up breaking down in front of our main character, Shinpei, and the animation on her crying and her just sobbing there, and the way everything looks just gives you a giant gut punch to the, just gives you a giant gut punch. No to the anything, just gives you a giant gut punch. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, it just really does give you a gut punch. The overall story, the way everything is written, everything's directed, all the animation, everything works so well. This is a great mystery that you all should be watching. Find it online. Just do a search for it and just put watch. You know, watch Summertime Rendering or something like that. Watch it. I will put a link for you in the show notes where it gives you the, there's a place on YouTube where it gives you the first two episodes, and you can watch those two, the first two episodes there. I don't know where you can watch the rest of them, but you know, find your way. It is definitely worth the hunt. This is definitely one of those series that's worth watching. Yeah, if you haven't seen this, you definitely owe it to yourself as an anime fan or just a, as a storytelling fan to watch. This is very, very good. Very, very brilliantly fun. The characters, everything, the scenarios all make sense. Even when you think they don't make sense, they make sense because it pays off later on. And that is fun storytelling right there. Like, I really don't know what else to say about this series other than how much I enjoyed it or am enjoying it, because it's still not over. I'm on episode 13 and it's still not over. There's 25, 26 episodes total for season one, or for just the series in general. And yeah, it's definitely worth it. Check it out. Again, it's Summertime Rendering. And with that, let me just move on to the main event, and that being Miss Marvel.
Okay, so first off, I just want to say, I get it.
You get what?
High school.
Kamala.
Kamala.
Another Avengers shirt. Cute.
She thinks I'm some kind of weirdo.
You were a weirdo.
Boys. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You're kind of on my shirt.
Sorry.
But you're staring out the window in your little fantasy land. Kamala, hey, already? Really? Come on, like...
Do I have to figure out my whole future before lunch, or is it like I'm a superhero?
Okay, that was a quick trailer for Miss Marvel, streaming on Disney Plus, starring Aimeen Valani, Matt Lintz, Yasmin Fletcher, just to name some of this cast, and sorry if I butcher anybody's name. A quick synopsis for this is, Kamala Khan is a huge fan of the Avengers, and even the bigger fan of Carol Danvers, the superhero known as Captain Marvel. Kamala finds her purpose when she gains powerful shape-shifting abilities and decides to fight crime as Miss Marvel. Now, this series does take place in the MCU itself. So yes, is this series fun? Yes, yes it is. Is this series have a lot of problems? Yes, yes it does. For instance, episode 4 and 5 absolutely did not need to happen. This is a 6-episode series, and episode 4 and 5 just took away from the story itself. It took away from Kamala Khan's actual story to show you more of Pakistan. And quite frankly, I don't mind it because I've never seen Pakistan, never been to Pakistan. I don't know any but one Pakistani in my entire life. So, and yeah, watching this world, living through this world, and seeing it through her eyes is really astounding. It is truly breathtaking and interesting to see how this culture works, how this culture is. And it's so much fun. For me, my favorite character in this whole series was Kamala Khan's best friend. Not the guy, the girl, her girlfriend in this. She, her BFF, she just rocks. She's my favorite character out of everybody, including the main actress. But other than that, I think this series is just a fun, whimsy little ride that they have going here. You know, could we have done without episode 4 and 5? Absolutely. We did not need to go to Pakistan to get the story points that we got from it.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
For instance, if they really wanted to have her grandmother in the scene, do a face-to-face, they could have flown the grandmother over. Or, you know, whatever. But reality is that whole conversation with the grandmother could have been happening in a 30-second phone call. Because that's how long it took her to explain anything to Kamala was 30 seconds. And then the whole time travel aspect of episode 5 really pissed me off because it did not need to be there. It didn't need to happen. Again, I'm going to say this. I know why they did it, because you're showing this culture for the first time. So you want people to be, you know, knowledgeable of it in any which ways. But we did not need to see how her great-grandmother ended up dying. You know, we don't need to see how that happened, because it really doesn't add anything to the story. It really doesn't. Other than giving you an explanation, it really doesn't add anything to the story. You just made me sit through a 20-minute, what you call it, flashback for no reason. The whole purpose was to show the why she left and everything. That easily could have been done by the bad guy in the series, telling Kamala Khan, and I killed her because of this. And why he says that, you could show a quick flashback of a great-grandmother being killed by her and whatever. You think that it served a purpose, it doesn't. It doesn't whatsoever. And that's honestly the most negative thing I have to say about this series, is the fact that episode 4 and 5, only thing they did was take away from the time we have with Kamala and her learning how to use her powers properly. Like, she really needed an episode on, other than that first or second episode of her doing a montage of her learning how to use her powers on how to climb and stuff, or, you know, jump on little pedestals that she creates. We really needed more than just a little montage of that. And we also needed more than just a montage, or even a really long montage. This was a short montage of her learning how to fight hand to hand, and it wasn't even that long. I think it was day one of her learning how to do hand to hand combat, and then they got interrupted and they killed her teacher. I'm like, oh great, thanks for nothing. All this did not need to happen, honestly. Or you just need to have her stay in New Jersey where she was, and that's it. She could learn all that. She could have done all that and learned all that in New Jersey. It did not need to go all the way to Pakistan to freaking learn all this and find out all this information. But no, they wanted to show Pakistani because it's the first time you actually seen, or at least Americans are seeing Pakistan in a light-hearted way, you know, showing the culture properly, no propaganda behind it, and all that nonsense. So yeah, I get why they did it, but at the same time, it's a detriment to the story overall. Because now, this was episode 5, and we're going to episode 6 by the time this releases, it's going to be a rush. They're going to rush through everything. They're going to rush all the plot holes that they left open. They're going to rush all through all the storylines that they left open. They're going to rush through everything. They're going to rush through her beating the crap out of the bad guys, learning how to use her powers properly. Or does she even learn how to use her powers properly? Or does somebody come in and actually stop them for her? All this is going to be rushed. And it's going to feel rushed and it's going to feel cramped. And this is what they've been doing for a while now at Disney Plus. And this is what pisses me off, is that they're constantly doing this and it just destroys the series. Instead of giving us a good solid series with a good satisfying ending, every last episode ends with them rushing through everything because they want to indulge in everything. It happened with Moon Knight. Moon Knight was just an indulgement. Everything was long-winded. No character development whatsoever. No foresight in anything. It was just like, and that's because it was always a different writing team for every episode. It was never one writing team. And every episode felt like the last episode didn't matter. But at least here, the episodes do correlate. And the episodes here show that each episode previous does somewhat matter. You know? But again, they're going to do the same thing they did with Moon Knight. They're going to do the same thing they did with all the other Disney shows on Disney Plus, which is just rush through the ending. Instead of giving us a good, solid, clear ending, they're just going to rush through everything, which sucks. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it. Before I go, I'd like to say I understand why they... But if they were going to do this, then they should have given it another episode to flesh out the ending instead of cramping it, which is what they're going to do. They're going to cramp it all up. And with that, remember, you can always reach me on Twitter at jlplays78 and also by email, jlplayspodcast@gmail.com, to let me know what I got wrong, what I got right. Did you agree with me? Did you disagree with me? Do you see me missing something that was obvious to you but wasn't obvious to me? Let me know. And remember, I also have a Patreon where you can get episodes a few days early and bonus episodes also. And other perks that you will probably like. But only, and I do mean only, if you are able to. Don't forget, you can also share this episode with friends, family, coworkers. Let them know that there's one guy screaming into the ether. And he's just making some stupid points, some good points. Depends on your point of view, of my point of view. But you let them know. And if you're a new listener here, thank you for staying this long. And if you're a returning listener, thank you for returning and staying this long. I hope that all of you come back next time for the next episode. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.